Atletico produced in the Champions League when it mattered once again, this time at Old Trafford.
Deep ball in, Renan Lodi must be! Atleti have scored! It's Renan Lodi who's put the away side in front. A sucker punch from Manchester United.
They have knocked out United with a hard-fought win in England. We'll break down how Diego Simeone masterminded this one. Also winning on the road, Benfica, what a result. 1-0 victors at Ajax, and they're through to the quarterfinals too. We review Tuesday and preview Wednesday next on Matchday Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and with me to reflect on tonight's two round of 16 second legs are commentators Mark Scott and Stephen Wyeth. Hello to you too, and we're also joined by European football expert Andy Brassel. Andy, away wins do the job. What did you make of it?
Yes, they did. I would say a shock in one of the games and maybe not in the other. I feel like Atletico really used the first leg performance against Manchester United, if not the result, as a springboard to get into their best form of the season. And after a sticky start at Old Trafford, I thought they were pretty faithful to that. As for Ajax and Benfica, well, we talked about building off the first leg. Benfica took a lot of confidence, I think, from the way they played in the second half of that first leg. You know, they thought nothing to lose, very much little left in their season to play for. Out of the two cups at home in Portugal, and not going to win the Liga for the second season in a row. But what a night for them in Amsterdam, of course, which has got such historical resonance for the club.
OK, let's confirm the results quickly from the round of 16 second legs. Manchester United 0, Atletico 1, a 2-1 victory for Atletico in Manchester on aggregate. Mark Scott, a commentator for this one, how did they do it?
Well, they weathered a bit of an early storm from Manchester United, who started with a lot of poise and purpose. They had a much better tempo to their play than they did in the first leg in Spain, and they carved out a couple of presentable opportunities, one of them for Anthony Elanga, who was denied by the face of Jan Oblak. Didn't know too much about it, the Atleti keeper. But although United had better possession and territory, it was the away side who had the better opportunities throughout the first half. David De Gea, a terrific save from Depaul, and then a goal that was chalked off for offside by the smallest of margins before Atleti got their goal, the goal that settled the tie overall. Really good work from João Félix to lay it off for Antoine Griezmann. His ball to the far post, Renan Lodi's very composed header to put them 1-0 up at the break. You thought Manchester United would start like a train in the second half, as they did in the first half, but it was a bit passive from them, and we saw perhaps what we would call some of the old Atletico come back with the way that they managed to sit in resolutely, and Manchester United didn't really have an answer. One save from Oblak from a flying Varane header, and that was about it. And then the party started big time for Atleti, and deservedly so.
And it finished Ajax 0, Benfica 1, 3-2 on aggregate. Stephen Wyeth, how did the Portuguese team do it?
Well, it was a proper smash and grab raid, but they pulled it off exceptionally well, Benfica, because you really couldn't see it coming. Ajax, absolutely dominant, particularly in the first half. They had so much of the play that they were camped out in Benfica territory without really creating a chance of any substance. And then in the second half, slowly but surely, Benfica grew in confidence from a corner kick for Tongan against his former club. Had a glorious opportunity, which he headed straight across the face of goal. And from a subsequent set piece on the same side, they got themselves organised better, whipped in brilliantly by Grimaldo, and headed in a towering leap from Darwin Nunez to get the better of Onana in the air and score what proved to be the decisive goal 13 minutes from the end.
OK, well, let's get into it, and we'll begin at Old Trafford, where Manchester United took on Atletico. A reminder, the first leg of this one in Madrid finished 1-1.
And now João Félix has got to the edge of the area. Manchester United have plenty of players back. Offloads to Griezmann. Deep ball in. Renan Lodi must be! Atleti have scored! It's Renan Lodi who's put the away side in front. A sucker punch from Manchester United, who have been on the front foot but now find themselves behind in the tie. Manchester United 0, Atletico 1, 2-1 to the Spanish side on aggregate. Free kick to defend. Oblak stayed and then made the save, and the acrobatic overhead is gathered by Oblak from Cristiano Ronaldo as well. A double save from Jan Oblak. First saves he's had to make in the second half. The first was terrific, the second a bit more comfortable. The header from Varane, and then the overhead acrobatics from Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mark and Andy are with me. Wild celebrations at full-time, Mark, there from the Atletico players. Sort of muted at first, but then they went to the away end and really savoured the moment.
Yeah, and deservedly so, because Manchester United will be disappointed with elements of their performance, but it was a professional job from Atletico this evening. They frustrated them. They got their bodies in the right places. I think that, you know, they were in danger of maybe being blown away early on because United started with that quick tempo. But I think, as Andy said during the game, they seemed to develop a bit of composure and then spatial awareness and just made sure that they were in the right pockets, that Manchester United didn't really have much opportunity to pick the lock. I mean, a lot of the time they were just going side to side and couldn't really spot an obvious route to get through the back. And you have to say the formation of starting with three at the back worked for them.
They played quite economically, Atletico, I thought. And as you say, I think the right word is composure. That's what they found as the game went on. I think they analysed United's weaknesses as the game went on, and they managed to exploit those. And they could easily have had a goal or two more in the second half. I thought that felt like a really good Atletico away performance. I think United played into their hands a little bit, and the delivery from the wide positions simply wasn't good enough. But once Atletico got themselves in front, they were far better organised than they've been on a lot of occasions this season, and than they were in a lot of occasions in the group stages. Because I think the remarkable thing, if we wind backwards, and I think we'll probably come when we talk to Stephen about the contrast between performances in the group stage and performances in the knockouts, but I think it's no exaggeration to say that when they went into that game at Porto needing to get a result on match day 6, Atletico could easily have had no points by then. They weren't great in those first five games at all, well short of the standards that they, as a club...
I thought they were going to go out.
Well, they were well short of the standards that they, as a club, and Diego Simeone and his teams have set in the UEFA Champions League over the last decade. And maybe, just maybe, that was the galvanising moment that they needed in these competitions, because these last two games against Manchester United have been much more like it.
I think as well, Koke was the official player of the match, and I've got no issue with that as well. But a special mention for Marcus Llorente. I thought, you know, as you've mentioned, not an out-and-out fullback, but the way he did his job this evening, stuck to Jadon Sancho, who looked for the main part to be the man most likely to try and make something happen.
Yes, I think that's right. And when we talked about Atletico working out United's weaknesses on the flyer, which I showed a great deal of intelligence, and really, I guess the biggest interpreters of that were Griezmann, who justified the start, I thought, and Joao Felix, because they both read the game so well. Is that space really behind the United fullbacks? That's something that they managed to exploit very well. Lodi did that very well in the first game. He did it well again in this second game. And Llorente on the other side.
I thought Renan Lodi was absolutely outstanding throughout. It is Koke who's got the UEFA player of the match. You mentioned Jadon Sancho there, Mark, and the desire to nullify him. And I wonder if part of that was actually born out of what happened with the Spurs game of the weekend, where Jadon Sancho's, you know, was so good at supplying Ronaldo, in particular for his second goal. Because in truth, I mean, am I wrong in forgetting any major Ronaldo chances? I don't think he really had much of an impact on the game as a whole.
I don't think he had a serious shot on goal, that certainly none that troubled Jan Oblak. And they did, early on in the game, Jadon Sancho and Alex Telles seemed to create overloads quite often. And that was where you thought, because the vast majority of Manchester United's attacking play was on that left-hand side.
Yeah.
But it dried up as the game went on. And I don't think it's because Sancho and the rest of them sort of tailed off. I think Atletico got wise to it, switched things around a bit, got more organised, and made sure there was no room.
Yeah, I think there were two sides to that. Rodrigo De Paul, who I thought was excellent at both ends of the pitch, and he's really growing into being an Atletico Madrid player. He went out to help Llorente more and more, I thought, as the game went on. The back three functioned very, very well. And the Ronaldo thing, we said at the start, they need to serve him. he has needed to be served for a long time. And the problem was, A, he put a lot of effort into pressing in the first half, and United did press very effectively in that first half hour. They weren't able to keep it up, which I think was a huge influence on the game. The second thing is the wide areas, which is where it was going to happen for either or both sides in this game. From United, the delivery simply wasn't good enough, and that is very disappointing with the players they have. And that meant Ronaldo was having to come and search for the ball. Now, he's never going to if he's drifting out right, which he was because Sancho was patrolling
right,
the left.
At one point, at the
yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's not going to outpace Ronaldo, and he's not going to outpace Renan Lodi, who are ganging up on him.
On Ronaldo, for only the third time in his Champions League career, he's played a 90 minutes plus match in this competition without having a single shot. The others, 2003 for Manchester United against Panathinaikos, the other in a Real Madrid Barcelona game, May 2011. So what did, I mean, I don't feel like at the moment, and things we've seen, Andy, we've been doing the show a long time, that a team can build from the round of 16 and suddenly become established and work out what it is from this point. But this doesn't look like a vintage Atletico team by any means. What did they do well in that second half to nullify Manchester United, do you think?
That they used the ball more judiciously. I think that was the most important thing, because they couldn't cope with the press of United in that first half hour particularly. And when they did get the ball back, they were very careless, and so they with the ball and they put pressure back on themselves. Whereas once they got to the point where De Paul and Koke were on the ball more, I think that made a difference.
They looked composed, didn't they? But even in tight areas, they kept hold of it.
Exactly. De Paul was excellent. Hector Herrera, I thought, grew into the game more and more as it went on. And you just saw the energy dip from Manchester United, and that made a big difference as well.
Ralf Rangnick turned to Pogba, Rashford, Matic, Mata, Cavani in that second half. But none of them could really get involved. Bruno Fernandes was taken off. Loads of talking points about the changes as well that the interim head coach made, Mark.
Yeah, and, you know, there'll be some questions about those on the bench that he didn't call upon. Jesse Lingard's one of the names that particularly springs to mind, who could have injected perhaps a bit more energy than, say, Juan Mata, who's an excellent player but doesn't quite have that same sort of energetic sort of element to his game. And that's what they needed at that point, because they'd gone a bit flat. They needed someone to perhaps drive at that back line. As I said, it was reminiscent of the first leg. When we got to a stage of the game, it was too much sideways stuff. There was no real penetration. There was no purpose going through the middle. And, you know, that's the sort of thing maybe someone like Jesse Lingard could have brought to them. Edinson Cavani came on. Andy was calling for it, said that they needed that sort of focal point to try and feed off. But he didn't get a single sniff, really.
No. And by that point, I think Atletico was set. You talked about that being at least part of a sort of greatest hits compilation from Atletico in that second half. Once they're set, it's difficult. And they did defend as a group very, very well, which we've not seen a lot from Atletico in the last year.
What else do we like about Atletico tonight?
Oh, I think that, you know, although they didn't have too many opportunities to flex their muscles up top, João Felix showed some lovely moments up there. You know, the way that they sliced through on the transition twice for the goal and also for the one that was chalked off, I really enjoyed. You mentioned Renan Lodi. Excellent. You know, and again, that was part of it. When they had that quick transition, all of a sudden, you saw him gallivanting forwards as the furthest forward player. Brilliant. Great energy. You know, everything that you want. As Andy called it, a greatest hits from Atleti's back catalogue.
They found a blend with that back three, though. I really think they have, because they've got two hunters, really, in Savic and Jimenez, who will go and look for the ball, who will go and look for the cross, which is, especially when you're defending zonally on set pieces, which they did very, very well on the whole, apart from that free header by Varane. That's important. And then Reinildo, just to clear up, using his defensive quality. And bear in mind, the plan wasn't for him to be an Atletico player already. You know, Lille, having gone through to the second stage of the Champions League, of course they had the second leg against Chelsea last night, he was out of contract at the end of the season. He went to Madrid and signed his contract for next season. And then the will of Atletico and Reinildo was for him to go now. There was a little bit of a push. They sent a transfer fee over, and the deal happened now. And what an important deal that has turned out to be, certainly for Atletico Madrid in the Champions League.
There was even a moment where Ronaldo squared up to him sort of relatively late in the game, and he just won the ball, looked composed, and almost whatever transfer fee they paid for the few months that they had to, that was almost worth it. They're into the quarterfinals of the Champions League, and it's that thing, Mark, we know that whoever they get drawn against just is going to have a horrible time.
Yeah, I was just about to say, they're not the biggest fish in that draw, but they will be one of the teams that a lot of teams will want to avoid. The big hitters won't want to play them.
No way.
Not when you see how they can dig in and make life really difficult for a team. Let's be fair, Manchester United weren't at their best this evening. They still have exceptional quality, and they frustrated the life out of them.
And I think when you look at the history of the Champions League over the last decade in particular, actually, if you go back to Liverpool, you look at Liverpool, Chelsea, who were knocking on the Champions League door for a very long time and won it with their least good team. This is not a bad Atletico side. It's an Atletico side in reconstruction. They will get better. But wouldn't it be amazing after those sides of 2014 and 2016 missed out?
Some of their truly great teams.
This side went on and won it.
And Yannick Carrasco suspended was missed, I felt at times, but still to come back. Okay, let's get some reaction to this one from former Atletico player and present Manchester United goalkeeper David De Gea.
Well, it's difficult to describe with words how we feel now at the moment, I think we did not enough in both games to win this. Both games, we were not at our best, to be honest, but yeah, it's a very disappointed day for us. I think they are a team with a lot of experience. They know how to play those games, Champions League games, tight games. They scored the goal, and it's at a very defensive team, so it was very difficult for us to create chances. We don't create many chances, so this is football, this is Champions League, and we are out of one of the most important competitions, and so we are really, really sad.
Manchester United goalkeeper David De Gea there. Atletico are the only side in UEFA Champions League history, so Champions League era football, to eliminate the three winners of the competition in this era in knockout ties. Chelsea, 13-14 semi-final, Liverpool a couple of years back, and now Manchester United. More on this game later on. Let's turn our attention to the other match on Tuesday in Amsterdam. Ajax face Benfica. Two teams level at 2-2 after the first leg. Stephen Wyeth, watch this one.
Gravenberch away from three. Gravenberch shoots, and it's just over the crossbar. And it got fingertips from Vlachodimos to help it on its way. The outstanding moment of the game so far, produced by Ryan Gravenberch, who had only one thought in his mind as he cut inside onto that right foot. Blintz on the overlap. Blintz has covered up a huge amount of ground. Decent looking cross. Antony's header onto the roof of the net rather than dipping underneath the crossbar. Well, last time Benfica had a set piece opportunity, they came close to scoring. Free kick rather than corner this time on the right hand side. Whipped across, left footed, and it's headed in by Darwin Núñez, who was struck to put Benfica in front on the night. And 3-2 ahead on aggregate. They have soaked up so much pressure in this game, but it is the visitors who take the lead, and they might just be heading through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
And they certainly were. So Benfica are into the draw for the last eight, seeing off Ajax, 3-2 on aggregate. Let's go to Stephen. He joins Andy and myself now. Stephen, how did they do it?
A Darwin's theory of evolving Benfica into Champions League contenders, frankly, because it was all about, for them tonight, creating one opportunity for their sensational leading goal scorer. And when it came his way, he converted it. There were only three efforts on target all night. Those two in the first half for Ajax, that one in the second half for Benfica. And the difference was that when Benfica managed to get an effort on target, it fell the way of a proven goal scorer in a wonderful position. And he took his chance. He took it beautifully. He timed his little movement right in front of the goal to perfection, got up to help on Grimaldo's delivery, and he flicked it beautifully beyond the reach of Onana. And well done to Benfica, because it was one of those nights where it's, you know, lies, damn lies and statistics. Only 15% of the game was played in Ajax's final third. Ajax had two-thirds of the possession, 16 shots in total, but really only one save of substance made by Vlachodimos. Benfica did a proper job on Ajax tonight.
And Stephen, you need versatility in knockout football, don't you? But what Benfica have done here is quite interesting, because not just the expectations of the club, but the makeup of the squad. They're a team and a squad that is built to attack. But what they've done, essentially, is replicate the performance that got them into the UEFA Champions League in the first place. They went away for the second leg of the playoff at PSV. They got their best defender, Lucas Verissimo, who's currently injured, sent off in the first half, and then just got everyone behind the ball and defended really, really sensibly. And I think to do that with largely an attacking roster of players is quite impressive. And it is about defending from the front with Darwin, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what, Andy? If they hadn't got the results tonight, we might be reflecting on why they were so negative.
Mm.
But so sometimes the result changes your interpretation of an entire performance and an entire approach.
Yes.
But you have to give Nelson Verissimo credit that he clearly felt that this was their best opportunity of progressing this evening, and he proved to be right. I was surprised not to see them attacking more often. I think we said at half-time, surprised that they didn't try and catch Ajax on the break, because they sort of seemed to be luring Ajax into this trap of pulling them further and further forward to create in space in behind, but then never looked to exploit it with those attacking players that they had. But fair play, they lay in the long grass, they bided their time, they were patient, they waited for their set-piece opportunities. They had one for Vertonghen, which ended up going just wide of goal, and the follow-up one for Nunez, he managed to find the target. So, yeah, you know, don't get too carried away. Ajax should have won the game tonight. They have only themselves to blame that they didn't. You credit Benfica for taking the chance when it came their way.
OK, let's get the thoughts of a disappointed Ajax skipper, Dusan Tadic.
It's very tough. It's difficult to talk now and to say right words. I think we didn't deserve to lose. We know that there are dangerous in set pieces and counter-attacks. I think we stopped good counter-attacks, but just one free kick, they score goal. Also, yeah, I think maybe earlier we should score goal, but still we are very disappointed. I think we missed to score goal, and then will be different. I think we were a better team, but in the end, I think in Europe it's a lot about set pieces and counter-attacks, you know, and we know that, and what I say, counter-attacks we avoid, but set piece was one moment and they score.
And Dusan Tadic, you sense, Stephen, they will beat themselves up a little bit about this, because even reading all the interviews and the expectation we heard from Derek Brookman early in the show, that there was an expectation from Ajax to come through and go deeper into the Champions League.
Yeah. Well, perfect record in the group, only Liverpool and Bayern could match that. They flew through it. They look in good form. They're top of the table in the Netherlands. They're through to another Dutch Cup final. Everything seems to be coming together very nicely for them to replicate that run we saw to the semi-finals 3 years ago when they eventually lost to Tottenham. But there is a curiosity about Ajax in the knockout stages of the Champions League. They have not won a home game in the knockout stages of the Champions League since 1996. So perhaps that expectation around the Johan Cruyff Arena is a little suffocating, because we certainly didn't see the best of them tonight. And that bit of trivia really should have been consigned to history this evening, and they failed to get the job done.
Well, striker Sebastian Allaire has written a new piece of trivia. He is the first player to score 11-plus goals in a Champions League season without playing in at least the quarter-final stage. But it is the striker on the other team, Darwin Nunez, UEFA Player of the Match and the match winner. Benfica through to the quarter-finals for the first time since 2015-16. OK, coming up, we're going to have a quick look ahead to Wednesday's round of 16 second-leg matches.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moment in UEFA Champions League history. Vote now at UEFA.com/UCL feeling and you could win tickets for the final in May and some other amazing prizes.
You're listening to Match Day Live with me, Rob Daly, on UEFA.com and the Champions League app. And the show's back tomorrow live for coverage of our final two round of 16 second legs, starting with our feature commentary, Juventus versus Villarreal in Turin, 1-1. From the first leg, Villarreal beat Celta Vigo at the weekend. Juve, the best team in Italy in 2022. No team in Serie A has picked up more points than them. Andy Brassel, how are you feeling about this one?
I think Juventus are in a good position. I also think this is going to be very tight because, as you said, Juventus have been transformed since Dusan Vlahovic has arrived. But I felt like it was coming for a while. Massimiliano Allegri normally hits his lines for Juventus in about February. And you could set your watch by it. That's exactly what's happening all over again. They're back in the title race for Serie A. There's absolutely no doubt about that now. And they were able to not start Vlahovic at the weekend and still come out with a very, very good win at Sampdoria, yeah. In which Alvaro Morata was excellent. He was very, very good in that, as well as Moise Kean. So they have some depth there, and you feel they have real shape and personality. However, the way that Villarreal got back into the first game after that terrible start was, Unai Emery talked about it afterwards, experience. They've got an older, more experienced side than a lot of people think at first glance. They're not the Villarreal of previous years. And I think that gives them something to make it difficult for Juventus.
No, Benedeschi, Chiellini and Dybala return for Juve. Bonucci, Zaccaria to be tested. Chiesa out. The other game, Lille against Chelsea. No, Renato Sanchez injured at the weekend. Reece James is a doubt for Chelsea with a fresh injury. Do Lille have any chance, Andy? Turning it around, 2-0 down.
I think the Renato injury is the one that finishes for them. It's very tough, and of course they found it hard to score goals in the group stage too.
OK, a reminder, by the way, the draw for the quarterfinals of the Champions League semi-final and final all goes in one draw midday CET on Friday, the 18th of March. You can watch it on UEFA.com from the House of European Football in Neon, Switzerland, live on the website. Let's have a quick recap with Andy, Mark and Stephen of tonight's action. Mark, do you want to go first, some reflections, and perhaps who was your player of the match for this one?
Yeah, I thought it was just a vintage display from Atletico Madrid, the Atleti of old. They got themselves in front, they were obdurate, they were hard to get past, they dug in and they got the job done. And over the two legs, they deserved their success. And as we've said before, nobody will want to play them.
And who was your player of the match?
I think I'll go along with the official man of the match, and I'd say Koke for me. He justified his selection after missing the first leg.
OK, let's hear from a man who made some crucial saves on the night, Jan Oblak.
Amazing, amazing. My first game here, so I was playing before in many stadiums in England, and now in Old Trafford, the history stadium. Amazing feeling, great atmosphere from both fans, so amazing game we won, so I'm happy about that.
Jan Oblak there, Atletico's goalkeeper, kept out Manchester United to help them into the quarterfinals. Let's go back to Stephen. Stephen, your final reflections, and perhaps the standout player for you. Darwin Nunez got the official UEFA player of the match, but as you mentioned, he didn't actually touch the ball a great deal.
Yeah, but like Mark, I'm going to agree with the official assessment, because it was all about a night in which there were very few chances, and when a big one came along, it needed to be taken. And he was able to do that, so he deserves to be heading home with the accolades, and good luck to him and Benfica in the quarterfinals now. They could be the feather ruffler awaiting one of the really big teams.
Stephen, thank you very much for your company this evening. Andy, you get to pick one player from either game, outstanding player, and please pick someone different to Mark and Stephen.
Rodrigo De Paul, growing into becoming an Atletico player.
Absolutely right. OK, a reminder of how things finished. Manchester United 0, Atletico 1, 2-1 on aggregate to Atletico, and Ajax 0, Benfica 1. Benfica are through 3-2 on aggregate. Well, that's all we have time for this evening. A reminder, we are back on Wednesday, the 16th of March, from 8 p.m. CET, as this season's round of 16 comes to a close. We have full match commentary from Turin as Juventus take on Villarreal, and we have updates from France as well as Lille take on the defending European champions Chelsea. And don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.